Well, good morning. Good morning. Thank you for your welcome and the opportunity to come and share God's word with you. Quick advert, the literature was mentioned just on the side, and myself and my wife work with a group called Counties. They've been around for 120 plus years, so if you've never heard of them, shame on you. Here's your opportunity. Do take a copy of the Counties magazine. There are about 30 evangelists spread around the UK. I represent them in Hampshire. Great variety of different ways of reaching out with the gospel. There's our own newsletter if you'd like a copy. Better still, just visit the website. And not only do you get information, there are freebies you can download and regular updates and videos. And if you've got young people, we run camps in the summertime. Send your kids, come and help. You're more than welcome. So if you want to know more, do take a couple of leaflets or visit the website or speak to Brian Zilwood, who is our treasurer as well as yours. And looks after the funds. Maybe we can pop the slides on, if that's okay. Thank you. It's unusual not having a zapper. Going to be lost. We live just on the edge of Fareham, in the posh part, Titchfield Common. And this is my tribe. My boy Arlo is 16. My daughter Catherine is 18. And my wife Penny won't let me tell you her age. And as I value my shins, and I'm not wearing shin pads, I'm not going to try. But Penny's very much involved in the ministry I'm involved with, but she also has her own ministry. She's a gifted speaker and very much a one-to-one personal worker. So that's the advert over. Luke chapter 19, and we'll have the first slide on. Zacchaeus. There's a story told of a little boy who went to his very first day at preschool. And he knew it was important because Dad had delayed his journey to work to wave him off. Mum had a tear in her eye, so it was a big occasion. So when the little boy turned up, he looked at the teacher and he said, please, can you tell me something so that when I get home, I can tell my parents and they'll be impressed. So the preschool teacher said, yeah, no problem. Remember this, 2 + 2 = 4. So all day long, the little boy went around, 2 + 2 = 4, 2 + 2 = 4. Later that night, they were having a family meal together, and Dad said, did you enjoy yourself today? Oh, fantastic. It was brilliant. And did you learn anything? And this little nipper just went, 2 + 2 = 4. Well, Mum and Dad were amazed. We've got a genius in the family. He can't even read and write and he's doing mathematics. And then the little kid spoilt it. He said, Dad, he said, what's a two? Now, I can't help feeling when you come to a passage like Zacchaeus, we all know 2 + 2 = 4. We know the story. We sang the song. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. But what's a two? Do we actually know the story, the main points it wants to bring to us? And that's my job, to try and unpack it this morning. So let me just fill you in on a bit of background. First of all, Zacchaeus was a tax collector, and people did not like tax collectors in Jesus' day, just as they do not like them today. You probably know the old taxman joke, don't you? There are people who complain about paying their taxes fall into two groups. Men and women. Or what's the difference between an overzealous tax collector and a Rottweiler? Well, a Rottweiler eventually lets go. So there are endless jokes about having to pay your dues. We don't like it. And the people of Jesus' day did not like it. Tax collectors were despised. And at least three reasons why. First of all, they were dishonest. They extorted money from their fellow citizens. The Romans had a system. They just kind of subcontracted all the jobs out. So they subcontracted to one person who subcontracted to another. And as long as you paid the price, you could get the job. And if you could afford the position of tax collector, it was a nice little earner. Because not only did you charge people what was due to give to the Romans, you put a few bob extra on for yourself. So they were dishonest. In fact, when John the Baptist was baptizing people and the tax collectors came and they said, what must we do? He said, be honest. Stop cheating. And of course, honesty ought to mark anyone who has an encounter with the God of the Bible. We should be known as people of integrity, people who are honest. So first of all, tax collectors were dishonest. Secondly, they were traitors. They worked for the opposition. They worked for the Roman authorities. And I know your last week's speaker, because I listened to his sermon, reminded you, it would be like the Germans had they invaded England in the war and were our occupiers and people worked for them. We would view them as traitors. That's how Zacchaeus was, working for the Roman invaders of his day. And thirdly, they were despised because they were sinners. Sinners. Sinners in the Gospels perhaps has a different meaning to the word sinner in the New Testament. In the Gospels, in Jewish culture, you were a sinner if you knew the law and decided not to obey it. So the law said, keep Sabbath sacred. Do not work on the Sabbath. But if you chose to work, you were called a sinner. You ignored the law. You broke the law. And tax collectors broke the law because they were forbidden to go to a place of worship. According to Jewish law, tax gatherers were excluded from the synagogue. They were included in the list of things that Jews considered unclean. They were forbidden to be witnesses in a case of law. In fact, robbers, murderers, prostitutes were all regarded higher than tax collectors. Tax collectors were the lowest of the low in their culture at the time of Jesus. Some of you know William Booth. William Booth, founder of the Salvation Army, great man. And on one occasion, the story is told that William Booth took his son Branwell. Branwell would be about 12 or 13 years of age. And William Booth took him out one night in London, into the East End of London, where it was rough and it was ready, and people had been exercising their right hand all evening. He took him into a pub full of drunken men. And Branwell said, Dad, what have you brought me here for? And William Booth said these words, son, these are our people. These are the ones I want you to love. These are the people I want you to live for. These are the people I want you to bring to Christ. And years later, Branwell Booth wrote these words, that was a lesson I never forgot. Hey, Christianity always has and always has to reach out to those that society pushes away. Those on the fringe of society. Those who are rejected by society, like Zacchaeus. Now, with that as the background, let's look at the story. And I want to divide it under a number of headings. Hopefully, they'll come up one by one. First of all, a man became a child. That's verses 3-4. A man became a child. Verse 3, he wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. I love this story because here's a grown man, and not just a grown man, a mature man, we assume. He is a government official. He's an important man. And he does such a childish things. First of all, he ran. At the time of Jesus, mature men didn't run. Now, I know you've had a marathon and people have had their gym gear on and been doing. Listen, he didn't have Nike trainers. He didn't have, you know, Lycra leggings. He wore a robe and sandals, not good for running in and certainly not good for climbing in. We assume he had undergarments on, as it could have been pretty embarrassing as he sat up in that tree. He did a childish thing. John Calvin, the French theologian, said this. Curiosity and simplicity are a sort of preparation for faith. Curiosity and simplicity are a sort of preparation for faith. Curiosity you find in children. And that curiosity is seen here in Zacchaeus. And Jesus said, if you want to enter the kingdom of God, you need childlike qualities. Not childish, but not to be immature, but childlike qualities. Simple faith, simple trust. You know, I do quite a bit of work for kids and teenagers. And if ever you do something for a child, they rarely say, oh, thank you, now what can I do for you? Adults do that. We've got senior folk in our church, and if I give them a lift, they say, have this for your petrol. I say, no. They always have to do something back if you do them a favour. But kids don't. They just say, ta. If you're lucky, they say ta, or thank you. They just accept it because, hey, they're kids. They don't expect anything back. It's a simple, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your kindness. They accept it for what it is. Zacchaeus shows childlike enthusiasm, childlike curiosity to get to Jesus. But do you notice what the problem was? The crowd were in the way. And isn't it true that so often those who are closest to Jesus often stop others from getting to him? D.L. Moody, the great evangelist, said, you know what? The biggest problem that stops people getting to Jesus are Christians. Because they don't accept people like Jesus accepted them. They don't love them like Jesus loved them. And therefore, they can't win them like Jesus won them. But I'm glad to say Moody then said the greatest solution in reaching men and women is Christians. Because if we accept people like Jesus did, if we love people like Jesus did, then maybe we'll win people like Jesus did. But on this occasion, they're in the way. They're a hindrance. I love verse 3. It's a great line. He wanted to see who Jesus was. That is a preacher's dream. That is an evangelist's answer to prayer. If you came to my church this morning over at Duncan Road Church in Parkgate, there would be a Chinese lady there called Amy. And Amy turned up at our church about 3 years ago, and her first words were these. I want to learn about God. Can you help me? Don't we pray for that all the time? I'm glad to say Amy did learn about God. She has come to faith. She is part of the fellowship. Zacchaeus had that hunger. He had that desire. And if you've come this morning with that hunger, that desire, you too can encounter the living Christ. He's only a prayer away. So that's point one. A man became a child. Point two. A seeking man became found. A seeking man became found. That's verses 4 to 5. He wanted to see who Jesus was. But because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. I love this. Zacchaeus is looking for Jesus, but all the time, Jesus is looking for him. I like the story of the elderly man who went out for a walk. That was his habit. Every morning he'd go for a walk down to the park and a bit of exercise, have a coffee in a nearby shop and then walk back. But this one day, it had been quite a while. And his wife started to look out the window, wondering where he was. And then to her horror, a police car pulled up and her husband was in the back. The police officer opened the door and two officers escorted him from the car to the front door. Knocked on the door and she came and she said, what's the matter? And the policeman said, well, he was in the park and he didn't quite know where he was or how to get home, so he asked for help and we've returned him. And the husband, very sheepishly, very embarrassed, walked into the house and sat down. Well, once the police had gone, she walked in and she said, what's going on? You've never had this sort of issue before. And why have you gone red? Why can't you look at me in the eye? And the husband replied, well, to tell you the truth, I was just tired and fancied a lift home. Now, don't try that at home, okay? The police have got enough to do. Zacchaeus was a lost man who needed to be taken home. He needed to be found. No one knows what's going on in the heart and the mind of Zacchaeus. I believe his interest is far more than just curiosity. It's much more than, oh, we've got a celebrity in town. Let's go down and meet him. Maybe his conscience has been irritating him. You know what it's like, gnawing away. Come on, Zacchaeus. All those years of dishonesty. Maybe he was seeking God like Amy. Maybe he wanted to get his life back on track, fed up with the way it was going. Maybe He realized that what he wanted in life, his wealth and his money and his status couldn't give him. And I love this story because as you read it, there's only one person who knows where Zacchaeus is. Zacchaeus is hiding in the branches of a tree. Had Jesus carried on walking, all the crowd would have carried on walking and no one would have ever known he was there. But when Jesus stopped and looked up, the whole crowd stopped and looked up, and Zacchaeus was exposed. Jesus sought Zacchaeus, not the other way around. Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. Notice he knew his name. He knew his place of hiding. He also knew the condition of his heart. The God of the Bible is a seeking God, as demonstrated in his Son, who came to seek and to save the lost. He always has been. Think all the way back to the Garden of Eden, when Adam sinned and is hiding behind a bush. And that question is asked, Adam, where are you? God didn't ask that geographically, did he? He knew exactly where he was in the Garden of Eden. He knew exactly which bush he was hiding. He knew how many leaves were on the bush that was covering him. So he's not asking it geographically. He's saying, Adam, where are you? We were this close, Adam, and now we're that far apart. What's gone on? G. Campbell Morgan, former minister of Westminster Abbey, used to say this, this is not the call of a policeman arresting a criminal. It's the wail of a father who has lost a child. Adam, where are you? He knew all about him. And Jesus looks at Zacchaeus and he could just as easily say, Zacchaeus, where are you? Not up a tree. Where are you spiritually? Where do you want to be? Don't be distant. Come on down. Let's go and have some food. Let's go and have a drink. Third point. A small man became big. A small man became big. That's verses 3, 5 to 6. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. Verse 5. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Zacchaeus was smaller stature. You know, he grew up hearing every joke about being small. You know, my name is Curly. So you can tell the jokes I've endured over the years with my mop of hair. And I'm married to a lady who's got more, you know, my wife's got so much hair, and she was a reception teacher that when she got a job, Mrs. Curly, and I went into her school to take assembly, and they said, this is Mr. Curly, I kid you not, the entire school in unison went, no, it's not. And they said, yes, it is. They said, no, it's not. And they assumed my wife was called Mrs. Curly because she got curly hair. So I know, I've heard every joke about being bald. But let me remind you, you do not put marble tops on cheap furniture, all right? And when God made heads, he covered up the ugly ones with hair, so just remember that. And I'm sure Zacchaeus had heard every joke about being small. Yet in contrast to his physical size, he was big in his occupation. He wasn't a tax collector, he was chief tax collector. Chief tax collector. He was at the top of his profession. If you forgive the pun, people looked up to him. And we're told he was wealthy. He had a big bank balance. A big bank balance. So although he was despised, his wealth and his position gained him respect. But as far as God was concerned, he was small physically and small spiritually. As far as God was concerned, he was at the bottom of the pile. Just like all of us are. All have sinned, the Bible says. So don't just point at Zacchaeus. See, if you measure yourself against other people, you're not too bad. I mean, I'm looking out this morning, I feel quite big. Of course not. When we measure against others, we all fairly good. But when we measure ourselves against God, we realise how small we are. And when Jesus stopped under the branches of that tree and looked up, and Zacchaeus was the public gaze of all those below. He had nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. I think he felt totally embarrassed and he shrank as small as a person could. They would have looked up, they would have laughed and they would have mocked him. Look at Zacchaeus! And Jesus looked up and he smiled, not despising him, but Jesus loves faith. And he always responds to faith. And I'm sure as he saw Zacchaeus' act of faith, he got up high so that he could see Jesus. He thought, great. That's the sort of people I work with. People who want to see me and know me. And will do unusual things to get close to me. And so when he said, Zacchaeus, come down, everyone in the crowd stopped mocking. Their jaws opened and they felt silly and small. And Zacchaeus had never felt so big in all his life. What, me? Imagine the pride that filled his heart. You want me? Everyone despises me, and you want me? So that's the next point. A poor man became rich. A poor man became rich. Verse 2 and 9. Verse 2 says he was wealthy financially, but verse 9 tells us he became rich spiritually. You know, Ady Goodchild, age 58, has made all the headlines this week. He's the winner of the Euro Millions lottery jackpot. On the news, he said this, talking about the £71 million he's going to spend. I will spend it on wine, women, and waste the rest. Well, I hope he enjoys his money. He's not going to take it with him, so he might as well spend it while he can. But Zacchaeus had money, but it didn't give him what he really wanted. And there's a little monologue that puts it this way. Money can buy a bed, but not sleep. Money can buy books, but not brains. Money can buy a clock, but not time. Money can buy food, but not an appetite. Money can buy finery, but not beauty. Money can buy a house, but not a home. Money can buy medicine, but not health. Money can buy position, but not respect. Money can buy blood, but not life. Money can buy sex, but not love. Money can buy insurance, but not safety. Money can buy food, but not an appetite. Money can buy luxuries, but not culture. Money can buy amusements, but not happiness. Money can buy a cross, but not a savior. Money can buy a passport to everywhere, except for heaven. Zacchaeus was a wealthy man. But there are certain things in life money cannot buy and cannot satisfy. And this poor man became rich. You know why? Because Jesus said to him, you are, verse 9, about to become a son of Abraham. Do you know what? A son of Abraham, you can't get bigger than that if you're a Jew. Everyone wants to trace their lineage back to Abraham, the father of the nation, and to be called his son. Boy, you can't buy that. It is a gift, and it comes through faith in Jesus. Today, you'll be a son of Abraham. And then finally, the final point, a host becomes a guest, verse 7. I love verse 7. The very thing the crowd criticized Jesus for is the very reason we praise him for this morning. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. They said that with derision and scorn. We say it in praise and celebration. If Jesus didn't bother with sinners, we wouldn't be here this morning. All the people, every one of them, including the disciples, all said, he's flipped. This is amazing grace that saved a wretch like Zacchaeus, that can save a wretch like you and me. Verse 5 illustrates Revelation 3:20, doesn't it? If anyone opens the door, invites me in, I'll come in and eat with them and drink with them and fellowship with them. And Jesus said, Zacchaeus, it may be your house, but I'm the host here. Come on in. You serve me. And look at verse 6. The NIV uses the word gladness. Some translation uses the word joy. That is the result of being found of God, isn't it? Think of Luke 15, three parables, a sheep, a coin, and a son. When they're all found, what happens? Party time in heaven. And party time on earth as well, when a lost sinner comes to faith in Jesus. So, to conclude, to finish. When a day begins, you never know how it's going to end, do you? You never know how it's going to end. We hope it will end well. For some, it ends sad. For Zacchaeus, it was a life-changing day. He had his sins forgiven. He experienced friendship and acceptance with Jesus. And he knew for certain he was a son of Abraham. He had assurance of heaven. What a day! And the Bible says this today is the day of salvation. If you've never responded to Jesus, like Zacchaeus, you need to seek for him. Like Zacchaeus, it may call for repentance. Zacchaeus said, if I've stolen, I'll stop and I'll give back. Instead of stealing and being dishonest, I will bless others with my finances. It may call for repentance. It'll certainly call for faith in Jesus. But the Bible says, even today can be your day of salvation. When your sins are forgiven, when you experience friendship with Jesus, and he gives you that hope of heaven. And my time has gone. Thank you for listening. There is a prayer team at the end of the service if you want someone to pray with or to talk things through or maybe even to say, look, I need to trust Christ. How do I do it? There's someone available you can talk to. Let's pray and then, Sue, if you lead us in our final song. Lord, thank you for this simple story. Apply it to every heart, for we ask it. In the name of Jesus, amen.